Well, today we're starting a brand new sermon message series, and the title of our series is right here on your screen. It's Do Good. Do Good. How many of us need to do more good? That's kind of bad English, but how many of us need to do good in our lives? How many of us would love somebody to do good to us? Yeah, every hand should be up, double hands up, right? Well, today I want to talk to you, begin the journey. We're going to be going through the book of Titus here for the summer, okay? We're going to go verse by verse, go through it and break it down and see and hear the voice of the Spirit speaking through this short little letter to Titus. But the sub idea for the series is do good, belief and behavior in the church. What is our belief and what is our behavior in the church? We can't do good in the church and then our behavior is, we'll do whatever we want. Or we can't do good out in the world and then come in the church and be like, man, I'm gonna do whatever I want in the church. Our belief and our behavior have to match, has to be one. And we're going to be talking through Titus about do good, about do good. Paul uses this phrase three times. He says, do good or do good works. And we'll break that down about what is the Apostle Paul calling us to do through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about doing good to one another in the church and outside of the church here. But as always, if we had to picture something, what is doing good? If we had to give that word some type of visualization, here's what I'd pick. Do good. Get old grandpa hair, bald hair like me. Woo. But just thumbs up. Do good. Do good. Sometimes we think of doing good as maybe it's, I'm going to start some new nonprofit and we're going to eradicate, whatever. And it's going to be this massive thing. And we think doing good has to be on this massive big scale. But today, as we begin, I want to encourage us that doing good is a picture. I would say picture this. Does this guy look special to you? He looks like just someone's grandpa in a suit. Looks like a nice little guy, Thumbs up. He looks happy. He wants to do good. Doing good is the day in and day out of submitting to the Holy Spirit. It's the, like I just said before, it's the long walk of obedience to Jesus. And in every situation, in every way, in everything you encounter, doing good so that it gives glory to Jesus. And I want to picture that you don't have to become or do some type of international ministry. Maybe that will be you. Or maybe you'll do something that'll get, world recognition or on the news. That may happen to you. But a lot of us, I would submit to this, a lot of us as believers in our lives, our doing good for the kingdom has been over here in the daily walking. Without Facebook, without the media, without someone coming up saying, hey, good job, Andy. Good job, Amber. It's just been in those quiet times when you say, Jesus, I'm going to do good because you have done good to me. You've redeemed my life. And just in the daily walk, I'm going to help the sister or brother. I'm going to help this person out. It's in the daily walking where no one sees you doing good is where this is lived out. And so that's the framework I want to remind us that doing good starts from a place not worrying about who sees it, who gives you, that a voice for. Doing good starts from the place of I live for the applause of nail-scarred hands alone. It's Jesus, and that's where it begins. So let me give you some background. As always, we start a new series. I love giving you background when we go through the books of the Bible. We're talking about Titus, and the book where this letter was sent to was to the island of Crete. Anybody know where Crete's at? Heard that Crete, right? It's part of the Greece islands now. And so if you look here on your screen, down here at the bottom, this is the island of Crete. It's part of the Greek island groups. About a little over 100 years ago, Crete was seceded back to Greece, and Greece controls it now. Over here is Turkey. Over here is where our last year is. Over here is where Ephesus is at, Laodicea, all the churches, the seven churches listed in Revelation where we went through here in the last series. It's all over here. Over here is Corinth and all that. And so that's where this is at. This is Greek. It's a massive island down here in the Mediterranean. And so that's where we're going to be talking about. This is where this letter is set. Paul wrote the letter to Titus, who was a young man there working to build the kingdom of God through the local church. Titus was mentioned, his name is mentioned 17 times in the New Testament. In Galatians and between 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul mentions his fellow worker, as he calls his longtime worker, Titus, 17 times, and talks about what Titus is doing here. And in the later messages, we'll get into some of the things that Titus did and what Paul was highlighting. But I want to remind you about who were the Cretans? Who were they? They were a people that loved Zeus, the Greek god Zeus. They worshiped Zeus because he was a womanizer. He stole from others. He was a schemer. He was a deceiver. He did whatever he pleased. He was a god about pleasure and self-fulfillment. They loved that. The Cretans were liars. historians and scripture notates this, but also just historians of the time notate that that culture of Crete, where they people were liars, they were brute, they were sensual, they were sexual, they were thieves, lazy. They shirked their duties. Women and men both would be like, oh, family needs food, whatever. Husband didn't like his wife, whatever, I'll go find something else. The wife didn't like her husband, wanted some other pleasure, I'll go find something else. I'll go do whatever I wanted. This was the culture of Crete. And we have to remember, as we read scripture, Paul wrote to a real people in a real time, in a real day, facing real things like you and I face today. Think about what would Paul, the Apostle Paul, write through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to America today? What letter would he submit to us? He'd probably address some of the things we're going through. Similar in the book of Titus here, Paul addresses their culture. Crete was a Roman colony for exiles. It started off, the Romans, they didn't like people, and they said, hey, you're going to this big island down in the Mediterranean. They're like, see ya, you're gone. And so there was exiles there, political has-beens, political enemies. They were the people, the refuge, the people that Rome didn't want, the refugees, this is where they dumped them. And so this is the setting for the book of Titus here on the island of Crete. So it's going to get exciting, all right? Think about that. You got an island that's just corrupt and just crazy, like Las Vegas on steroids, and people that were all the misfits, the misfit toys, remember that from the claymation, the island of misfits? You put that together, and then put Titus there, and Paul said, Titus, go build the kingdom. Woohoo! Time to do good. So this is the setting for the book of Titus, all right? So where are we going with Titus? We're gonna read here in a minute, but I want to give you, here's the four main things we're going to be going through the study here this summer. And these are the four things. When I read through this and prayed, here's what I came to. God wants us to do good in these areas. Do good in your church, do good in your walk with Jesus, do good in your home, and do good in your city. And these are the four areas we're going to explore from Paul's writings here. These four areas about where can we do good in the church, in your personal walk with Jesus, in your home, and in your city. Four most influential places where the gospel can be lived out is where we're going to be talking about doing good. So turn with me to the book of Titus. And we're going to do some things different today. As you know, Pastor Dan likes to shake things up. But we're going to read the entire book today. Whoa, what? We're not going to read just one verse and proof text that. No, we're going to read the entirety of the Word of God. Now, it's a short little letter. As you know, it's three chapters. We can read it here in about 15 minutes, okay? And so I'm going to read it here, and just follow along with me here. It won't be on your screen, so we're going to read the entire thing here. You guys ready? Here we go. And I've just got one point to make. We're going to take our time going through this because we want the Word of God to saturate us. Right? We don't want to be just anemic, fast food Christians. Give me a quick hamburger. We want to be deep Christians, man. We want to cook up a nice steak and potatoes and broccoli. Woo, man. And you name it. We want a rich meal from the Word of God. All right. And so during the summer, we're going to take our time going through this. So let's read here. Right. Let's read the Word of God. Starting in chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised from the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season has brought into the light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town, as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, one who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said it, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in their faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to merely human commands of those who rejected the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards one another. The ESV says to be ready to show perfect courtesy to all people. I love that. And at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have entrusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogy and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. As soon as I send Artemis and, Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me, send your greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's pray, church, over his word. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for being a man of your word, that you died for us and you rose again and you gave us a hope and a future, and we have been set free to do what is good and to live productive lives in Christ. Jesus, I ask in these next few moments that you would come speak to us through your word. May it be your words, not my words, and may we lift up the word of God high, and may we do what it says and be obedient sons and daughters to the word. And Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. And amen. And so what I want to do is this. I want to open it up as we start this series. What did you hear in the text? What did you hear the Holy Spirit say? It can be a phrase or a thought. I know this might be some of you. It's different. But the ancients, the Hebrews, Scripture tells us that when the Word of God would be read, that someone would have a thought or revelation, and that the church would judge it, would say, oh, yeah, that's right, that's good. And so this is just going back to some of our ancient roots about taking a chance to respond a moment. So what did you hear the Holy Spirit say to you?
Do what is good.
Do what is good. Thanks, Ron. Okay. All right, Amber. Yeah, what'd you hear?
We are waiting for the appearing of Jesus Christ.
That's right. I look forward to that one. What'd you hear?
So on 3:9 it says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law. They're unprofitable and useless. And then it goes on to say about a divisive person and how to handle that. that shouldn't stop us from doing good. None of those things should stop us from doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's good. Yeah. Catherine, what'd you hear?
Get busy about doing the Father's business. Do good whenever you can.
Oh, that's good. Yep. Yep. We're gonna be hammering that point home on this whole series. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. That's good. Ginger.
I love how one of the functions of the church is for men and women as they show and model mm-hmm. what it's saying here for older men and young and older women is to model that for the younger. I mean, that's why we're together as well, I think.
Yep. Kathy, what did you hear the Holy Spirit say?
I've been reading in Titus recently and studying it because it does give you instructions about the older women and what you're supposed to do. And he says to be obedient and not to have arguments about the law and to do good to others. There's just all kinds of stuff in there. And it's really informative, and it helps us to live our lives the way God wants us to.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yep. Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else? What did you hear the Spirit say? What stuck out to you? Hold on, you got to use the mic, Char. I know you don't like it, but you got to use the mic.
I like how people argue that don't have the faith that the Bible doesn't apply to today. I mean, this just is like today's world right here.
Yep. That's good. Did everybody hear that? People will say the Bible is archaic. It doesn't apply, right? But you're right. This whole message is America 2022. Yep.
When they were talking about the elders of the church and them aspects, I thought that was the perfect example. That was Keith was a great example of what they described here.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thank you, Jeremy. Anybody else? It doesn't have to be. I want to encourage us that if you read in Scripture, it does say that when we gather, we're supposed to all bring something. It says everyone brings something to when we meet. But I want to encourage us. If you heard me say this, and I know some of you know this, but we've gotten into mode in Christianity in the West where it's the one speaker. Oh, the professional pastor speaks. That I'm the only one to speak. That's not the biblical model. That's not the biblical model. There are elders. There's someone that's responsible. Titus was responsible for the churches, but Titus was not the one lone speaker. And so this is what we're doing to help us. Some of you, I know it's uncomfortable, but this is our goal, to help everyone speak. The Spirit speaks through everyone. Right? And the Spirit's not going to speak chaos. And sometimes people think, well, what if Dan got up and said, this is baloney? Well, no, the Spirit's not going to speak that. God speaks in order and to edify his word. And that's my job. If someone's out of order, I'll take care of that and say, no, you're out of order. But I want to encourage you. Anybody else? Anything you heard you want to say? If not, it's okay.
We're supposed to avoid foolish controversy.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Sean, you want the mic? Are you good? Okay, go ahead.
I like the part where he just goes through this practical list about being hospitable, loving what is good, self-control, upright, holy discipline, hold firmly to the trustworthy message, encourage others by sound doctrine, and refute those that oppose it. I mean, those are such practical things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He went through for himself about this is how I train other people, and now this is how you need to be trained. So
right.
You can train others to do the same thing.
That's good. That's good. And this list is for all of us. Mm-hmm. This isn't for the pastor. It isn't for the deacons or the elders and the old Sean and Tim, the elders. No. Guys, this is for everyone, for the babies, for the youth, for our senior citizens that have walked with Jesus for many, many years, or some of us that are new to the faith. It's for everybody. That's good. So practical. I hope you heard. Here's what I heard the Spirit say. I heard the Spirit say, do good so that you can live a productive life which glorifies my son, Jesus. This whole, everything in here, which we're going to dive into here over the summer, is about giving Jesus the best light. In our culture, everything we do out in culture should be glorifying Jesus. I know you know this is not a new, whoa, revelation, but I believe the Spirit's saying to Christians and drawing a line today in our country, what are you doing out there in culture? What are you doing in your home, in your city? Are you doing good so that it says here, no one can slander the name of Jesus? Are your words, are we fighting over things that are causing a bad name on Jesus? And so, I want to highlight today just one thing, godliness. Look at verse 1. I don't have a long message for you. But look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and for their knowledge of the truth, which accords, or the NIV says, which leads to godliness. Which leads to godliness. Knowledge of the truth, which leads to godliness. I want to highlight this word here, this word godliness, this word here in the Greek, the first one here, the top word here. It's Eusebia, and it means, it's the main word here they use in verse 1. It means piety, godliness, or holiness. Someone that is for piety, for holiness. The root word of our word, the bottom word here, it's Eusebax, and it means to have good behavior, to be devout, to be godly, to have a good godly character, or we would say here, to be someone, if you've met someone that's, you know, you would say they're a good devout Christian or a good devout something, whatever. That's kind of the root word of that. I want to encourage us today that you and I have enough knowledge. You and I in this room today have enough knowledge. How many of you have a Bible today? Okay. How many of you have the Bible on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop? How many of you could go to the library and check out the Bible at the Sioux City Library? We all could do that. How many of you have watched a YouTube video from a pastor or a Christian teaching? Or how many of you have been to a website of a ministry or you name it, someone that's a Bible devotion, New Version Bible app? Yep, all of our hands go up. How many of you are lacking for the word or knowledge today? Answer is zero. Zero. Now, some of you might still feel lacking in knowledge, and yes, some of you might are new to the faith and growing. But I want to submit to us today. I was praying to start off our message series is this, and this word, this first verse, it just arrested me. And I started talking this week, and Sharon and I were talking. Sharon, you want to come up and just share? And I've got some more thoughts on this, but godliness, what does that mean? We have a knowledge of the truth. We have a knowledge that leads to godliness. Now, when we say godliness, some of us think of old Granny Smith in the church, old pious granny. No, you know, fuddy-duddy, you know, steel spine, and she doesn't want to do anything. And if you laughed in church, she thought, you know, she'd call you out, thought you were the devil. And no, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about man's religion of what godliness is. What is having the truth which leads to godliness? Sharon, will you just share briefly a couple of thoughts, yep.
Well, I was telling Dan last Sunday, I went home and I started reading Titus in preparation for his new sermon series, and I was telling him, I started reading and I couldn't get past verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. The knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. I could not get past that. You know, it's like we all have a lot of knowledge. We all know how to tie our shoes. We know how to get dressed. Some of us better than others. But, you know, really smart people are scientists. They know physics, you know, right. Stuff like that. We all have that type of knowledge, but it doesn't lead to godliness. 1 Corinthians 8:1. This is where my thoughts were going when I literally could not go on because right. God yep. wanted me there. It was a Holy Spirit moment. And my thoughts were going to 1 Corinthians 8:1, where it says, knowledge puffs up, makes us proud, can make us proud, but love builds up. So that was a thought I had. James 2:19 says that the demons believe and shudder. They know Christ. They knew him when they were in heaven mm-hmm. with Jesus. They know him, but it doesn't lead to godliness. They're anti-God. So what is this godliness? What is this knowledge? This is mm-hmm. where my thoughts were going. And I was like, with him and his... Anyway, what's the definition of godliness? Some of it is God-likeness or Christ-likeness. My husband, Tim, he says the knowing is in the doing. You know, if you know something, you're right. going to act upon it. I like that definition. Right. Mm-hmm. My definition, after kind of digging in Sorry, is this too long?
No, go ahead.
Head knowledge to heart knowledge to action knowledge, being the hands and feet right. and the mouthpiece of Jesus, taking thoughts captive. But the best definition that I found when I looked up godliness, there's an article online, if you just Bing godliness, this article popped up.
And we'll post a link on our Facebook so you can, on our Facebook.
Yeah, it's called What is Godliness? Mm-hmm. And it's by Jerry Bridges. So find that. The definition there was godliness can be defined as devotion to God, which results in a life that is pleasing to him. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. The knowledge that leads to godliness, knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus, not just here, but here. Mm-hmm. And I've been guilty of, you know, we talked about it in class this morning. The Lord will say something, either do this or don't yep. do that. And we're like, because we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you just said it. That time is gone. God is drawing that line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
No more of that. So anyway.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yep.
That's good. So I was reading too, and I told Sharon we were going, and Sharon, I said, Sharon, I'm arrested with verse one. She goes, well, isn't that funny? Well, we know it's not funny. The Spirit speaks. We both were just arrested on verse one. And I want to challenge us today here in these next few moments is that you and I, we have the knowledge. We have it. We have plenty of knowledge. But like Sharon just said, what is the application of that knowledge? Church, I believe that God is saying through His Spirit, enough of my church being fatheads. I mean, there's people I know, man, they can quote scripture better than I can. They can speak it in Greek, Hebrew, you know, ghetto language. I mean, they can quote, they know everything. But the lifestyle that leads to godliness, the action that leads to it being devout is not there. How many of you have been that? Spirit speaks, I don't want to do that. How many of you? Man, I know Jesus, but man, I don't know him in the walking it out enough. What's interesting is if knowledge was enough, then the second part of that verse should have been taken out. If knowledge was enough to be godliness, well, that should be enough. Well, why did Paul say their knowledge or the knowledge of the truth which accords or which leads to godliness? What is the Spirit showing in this verse through writing through Paul is that there's a moving. We went to Rise Fest and Toby Mac's song, one of his songs, Keep Moving Soldier. You ever heard that one? Just keep moving. Well, Christ didn't call us to sit and have a big fat head. He called his body to be active, to be strong, all different shapes and sizes, heights and peoples and colors. But he called his body to be moving towards godliness, living out the faith. And I want to start the series. Paul encourages the young pastor, Titus, says, hey, you've got the truth. You've got the knowledge. You know who the one true king is. How many of you know who Jesus is? Right? How many of you? How many of you could, in essence, could tell the story, the gospel story? Yep. The gospel is simple enough that a child can tell it. A kid can understand it. But we know it's very much more complex and deep beyond it than we can imagine, even the smartest guy in here or a woman. But we all have the knowledge. We have it in front of us. Church, we have the knowledge. We're good. But are we living this out? I would encourage us and challenge us, submit to you that God has drawn a line in America. He's drawn a line in our churches and every denomination. Enough of having fat head people sitting down and all the knowledge. And everybody online spouting out their blogs, and here's my belief, here's the breakdown of this Greek word, and blah, 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 blah. God's saying, where's my church that lives it out, where they see godliness and holiness, and man, they're running after that. Where are they doing good when no one else sees it? Where are they doing good in their mouth and their speech and their serving and surrendering? Where is the action that's leading towards godliness? Now I know some of you are like, well, Pastor Dan, isn't it your job to preach the word and teach? That's right. It is. But church, that's not good enough. If you could just preach and teach, man, this job, man, being a Christian would be easy because I've read this plenty enough times, right? How many of you have read this plenty of times? Or no, I get the book. I get the gist of the book. I could be done, sit down, bingo. But God is saying the knowledge which leads, which it's moving, it's breathing. And church, that is what we're suffering from today. Sometimes people think, you know, yeah, people aren't reading the Bible as much today, and that is true. The younger generations, that's right, there is a biblical illiteracy that is there. But there's also growing biblical literacy as well. I don't think we're suffering as much as knowledge of not knowing it. It's just living it out. It's people that have heard the message say, oh, no, not today. I'm not living for Jesus. They've heard the Spirit say, surrender. They're like, nope, I'm going my own way. I'm not going to go towards it. They've seen the knowledge. They've heard the knowledge. But they're putting their fingers up. No, no, they don't want that. How many of you in your own Christian walk, you've read a passage and you've heard the Spirit speak, and you've been like, oh, no, not today. I'm not doing this Spirit. Nope, I've got my plans. I got to go to school. I got to go get the groceries. Oh, no, that's gonna cause me. I got to die to myself. I mean, that means I got to move closer to Jesus. That means I've got to do something other than just standing still. And I would say, once again, church, we got to get moving. Keep moving, soldiers. Keep your head up. Keep moving. And I want to start this and set this as a foundation for us that we are to keep moving. And on your screen here, you can download this off of our website and all these verses and go over them on your own. But these are all the verses in the Bible that relate back to this root word godliness. And I encourage you, when you get time this week, I really encourage you, go read every one of these verses. It'll take you probably about 10 minutes to go through them. All of them involve, guess what? Action. If the Christian life was about sitting and knowing, then Jesus would have said, hey, just memorize everything and sit down. You're good. I'll see you in some time when I'm coming back. But Jesus said to be a doer, be about my Father's business, being active, moving. And so here's my question for us today. I want to leave you with, what are you doing with the knowledge you have of Jesus? What are you doing with that? Now, I want, as Paul said our letter, rebuke them sharply. Now, you guys know I love you and I'm with you, and we know we are the body. But church, what are you doing with that? And that's what I'm saying to the Church of Siouxland, the Church of America. What are you doing with the knowledge? We got enough knowledge. We got more PhDs in biblical literature than you could shake a stick at. Yippee-ki-yay, as Bruce Willis said in Die Hard. Yippee-ki-yay. I want some people that are living or not. I want some churches, some men and women, boys and girls, some pastors that say, look, I don't care about Facebook lives. I don't care if my church blows up. I don't care about having a cool website. What I care about is moving towards godliness and living it out. Doing good to all people. And so churches want to submit to you. Keep reading the word. Hear me very clear. Keep reading. I'm not saying not anti-Bible. Keep reading. Keep growing. I need to keep learning. But we all have a gist of the word. We've all been redeemed. We know the gospel. We know who Jesus is. We know we have the Bible literally in front of us. Church, it's time to get moving. It's time to keep moving. Bev.
God tells us I'll never leave you or forsake you.
That's right. That's right, babe. That's right. And since he's always with us, he's not going to forsake us. We can keep moving and keep doing things, living out his word. But church, I want to encourage you today. We've got enough knowledge. I'm telling you, I say it again. I mean, I am amazed. Go look at my office. I've got 100, 150, 200 books in my office, just in my office alone about Christianity and knowledge. I mean, that's amazing. Church, we are saturated. Praise God. I'm thankful for the internet, for the YouVersion Bible app. How many are you? Man, we can get the gospel into close countries through the internet. Man, praise God. I mean, there's hundreds of online Bible studies. Praise God. You can get the Bible in a million different versions. I was studying for this message, and I could download all my digital texts and all my Bible dictionaries. I mean, praise God. It's amazing. But church, the world doesn't need another good lecture. It needs you and I, the living servants, living this thing out where they come out and meet us, and they say, man, that person, boy, they're devout. Man, they look like God. They smell like God. They smell like the fruit of the Spirit. Woo, they smell good. They need to see us living this out, and I encourage you, church. Some of you in here have advanced degrees. Praise God. Some of you are way smarter than some of us. Praise God. And all the men that are married today, amen to that one. Yes, our wives are smart, right? But also the wives, too. Our husbands are pretty smart, too. But anyhow, that's a side note. But knowledge is great. Go after it. But how many of you know, man, we need to live this out. Man, we're thankful. Some of you feel like, you may feel like, Pastor Dan, I struggled through high school. I'm not the smartest academic. Look, the knowledge, that's all right. If you know Jesus, if you've met him, he said that the Holy Spirit will remind you of all things. The Holy Spirit will give you the God thoughts, John 14. So you don't have to be smart. You just got to be submissive and submitting your life to him and then living it out. And so, church, I want to remind you, it's not about knowledge today. I know I keep saying that. I want to encourage some of you just got to get in your spirit. It's not about knowledge. Some of you know, like I stutter sometimes. Sometimes I wish I could speak better or I'm working on it. I hate that. But once again, who cares if you can stutter or you can speak? As Paul said, I can speak in an eloquent like angels of tongues. If I don't love, meaning what Paul was saying, if we don't live something out, the knowledge is useless. It's useless. This is useless. Can we say that about the Word of God? It's useless unless we live it out. It's useless. It's just a book, a writing. But praise be to Jesus. This isn't just another book. We are called to live this out. And so that's what I want to give you today as we close. That's it. What are you doing with the knowledge you have of Jesus? I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to seek the Holy Spirit for your own life. What's God calling you to do? What area do you need to submit again or resubmit? Or maybe you're here today for the first time. You need to say, Pastor Dan, I need to come to Jesus for the first time. And man, and meet this guy who's the Savior of the world. It transforms my life. Some of you know Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you, get off your bottom and do something with your life. Some of you have been in this church many, many years or are going to church. Get off your bottom and do something. You don't speak. You don't serve. You don't do anything. Get up. Get up. Keep moving. Enough. You don't need to hear me. You don't need another good revival service. You need to be active with what's been implanted inside of you. And that is where the Apostle Paul starts to the young pastor Titus, is to get up and keep moving. And whatever knowledge you've been given should be leading you to and looking like, smelling like Jesus, our Savior of the world. So let's pray, church, and we'll go enjoy some food together at Communities. But let's pray. Jesus, we say thank you that you live inside of us. We start with gratitude. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for renewing our mind. God, we just say thank you for renewing our mind from the sin and darkness and the pathways and just the thoughts in our mind. We don't have to think like the world. Praise be to you, Jesus. But God, I pray that, God, we won't act like the world, but that, God, we'll act like you and move towards you with what the knowledge that we have been given. We each have been given a gift, and we say thank you. But God, I pray right now in this room that, God, in this nation, in this city, in this region of Suitland, that the people of God would get up and keep, start moving, start enacting upon the words and the things that you've implanted inside of us, the dreams, the visions, the quiet words you've told us, the things to do, people to go talk to. I pray that, God, we would be doers of the word and just not hearers and get a fat head by just the knowledge. But God, I pray that we would be active and alive and in step with the Spirit today. God, help this church. God, we start with the house, this house first. We say help Crosspoint to not have a fat head. But God, may we be an active body, a serving body, a body that gets up and does something. And God, we don't care who gets the praise, only that if you alone get the praise. God, we don't need any praise, any social media, anything. God, we need you to get the praise. And God, we want to move towards godliness today. So God, we come and I, God, submit myself. Grow me to be more like you. God, may we walk in devotion. May we walk in holiness. May we walk in consecration to you. Jesus, may we be all in. May, as the song said, may we make room for you today. And God, may we move toward wherever you're calling us to move to. May we move to that, Jesus. And Jesus, we say thank you for being that faithful friend, as Bev said, that you won't leave us, you don't forsake us. Jesus, you are over us, ahead of us, behind us, under us. Where can we go from your Spirit? Nowhere. And Jesus, we say thank you for being with us and guiding us. But God, I pray that the church would rise up and be doers and movers and shakers. God, let it start in Crosspoint. God, let it start in every Assemblies of God church here. Let it start in Heartland Baptist. God, and Elevate, God, in Central Baptist, in Sunnybrook. God, in every church, God, may we be movers and doers today, Jesus. God, may we pray, may we meet with people. God, may we do and move in the ways that you've created each of us uniquely. May we celebrate everyone's walk and calling uniquely. God, it's been said that I can celebrate someone else's calling, but I'm going to walk in mine. And today I pray that every one of us will walk and move in the calling that you've placed upon our life today. Just like Titus did, and there was a church planted all those years ago that's still there today. God, I pray that we would be movers and plant things, that we see a harvest to come in Suitland. That God, that only you can do, and that you water and you cause the growth. And so God, we just say thank you for all that you're doing. And I pray that over this series that God, you would implant a do-good attitude in us, that we would do good, and that we would live productive lives. Jesus, thank you for the food that's being prepared. Thank you for the hamburgers and everyone that brought food. We pray that, God, we would enjoy good fellowship, that we would do good. God, thank you for what you're doing in this body and every heart. And we pray this all in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.